So in this video, we're going to talk about setting up the build and all the configuration options that we have. In previous videos, we talked about build steps and setting up a very simple build, which is great, but most people aren't going to be just setting up a simple build. We're going to want to go through and configure this build to do a number of different things. So in this video, let's talk about those configuration options we have. As we go through, we can see at the top here, we have a few different links for different items that we can set. I'm going to select the Visual Studio build here, and I want to set this up so that first off, before we do anything, we actually package up this build. So in the build arguments, I'm going to put in, and we'll talk about this, some values. So we have, these are typical arguments that you might put in if you were using previous versions of Visual Studio or TFS. Deploy on build, we're going to say equals true. The web publish method is a package. Here we have publish as a single file equals true. And then skip and valid configurations is true. And then where's the output going to go? And that's the output dir. And that's in the build.staging directory. So now that we have that all set, we can actually save it. It's going to ask us if we want to put in any comments or anything. I'm just going to save it for now. Call it demo build still. So now we have the packaging piece set up. Now I want to walk through some of these options at the top here. So let's actually go to the options screen. And this is going to allow us to do things like set up multi-configuration. Multi-configuration basically allows me to do multiple configurations and I can run them in parallel. And by that I mean I can do like a debug, a release, any CPU, things like that. So what I'm going to do here in the multipliers is I'm going to use some variables that I've already have set for build platform, and this is commented delimited list, and build configuration. So now that we have that set, we have the choice of running them in parallel. So if I have multiple agents available to my build, I'll be able to run these in parallel just by clicking on that. And do I want to continue on air? So by default, it's checked to continue on air. And the reason being is if I'm running multiple configurations here, I may not care that the X64, release failed, but I want to see if this debug, X64 going to pass or any CPU going to pass. I want to know which one's passed, which one's failed, and I'll triage the ones that failed when we're done. Or you could choose to just say, you know what, I'm only running one configuration here, or the configurations I'm running are important. I'm just going to end the build as soon as we get run into an error. Next thing we have is the ability to create a work item on failure. So if you're using the work item tracking system available in Visual Studio Team Services or in TFS, you have the ability to create work items if the build fails. By default, it's not checked. This could be something you want to check once it goes into production, but while you're doing testing on the build and making sure it's getting set up right and everything's working correctly, you may choose not to have that turned on because you will get a lot of extra work items you may not want. And then we have the allow scripts to access an OAuth token. So again, if we're going to be accessing anything where a username or password is important and we can use an OAuth token instead, we're allowed to use that. So if I'm running scripts that need that type of information, I can allow it to just use the OAuth token rather than having username and passwords in there. Go to the repository. This is pretty generic in terms of what it is. It's the repository type, and you can see we have a couple different options here. We're of course using TFVC. The repository name is build demo. Do I want to do a clean, and that's a true or a false. In this case, we're going to say false. But we could very easily do a clean on the repository. And then label the sources. By default, it's set to do not label. Unlike other versions of Visual Studio or TFS, when you ran a build, it would label every build you ran. You have the option still to do that on every build, but you also have the option to do it in just successful builds or not do it at all. So some of the complaints I'd get from customers were, there's too many labels in my system. It's getting filled up every time I run a build. Now you have the option to turn that off. Down here, we have the mappings. So what are we going to actually build? What's going to come down from version control, and what are we going to build? So by default, we have the server path build demo. In this case, I'm going to want to go down a little bit. I don't want the whole project, because that's what basically that's saying, is give me the whole project. So while that loads for a second here, we'll take a look at that. And all I want is the web application one. That's got my solution, all my things that I need to build, you know, my application. So we're going to select OK here. Where's it going to go to? It's going to go to the sources directory, build.source directory. And that's fine. We'll leave that. Then we have this option to cloak the drops directory. I'm not going to even worry about that. I don't have the drops directory that I care about. So I'm going to uncloak that or remove that. But before I do that, I want to talk about what cloaking is. So people ask me all the time, what does cloak mean? Basically, what this is saying is there's a directory inside of my download that I don't care to bring down to the build server. It doesn't need anything. I don't need anything from that directory to run my build. So what we do is we cloak it. Think of it as a cloak of invisibility. You know, we're hiding this thing so it does not bring it down to the server when the build is going to run. Now, where I may really use this, and I've used it before, is I may store my documentation in a directory in my application version control location. I like to store my documents close to my source code. I don't need my documents when I run a build. They don't compile or anything. So what I can do is cloak that documents directory. So I'll just go in there and I'll select maybe in here I have a documents directory or maybe the build process file. I want to cloak that. I don't want that to come down. We don't need it. And I could select that. I'd have a documents directory in here somewhere. I'd select that and I'd cloak it. But in this case, I don't need to do any of that. So I'm just going to remove that step. And of course, I can add more mappings if I'm going to be pulling from other locations too. Next, we go on to the variables. We've talked about this a little bit in previous videos, but in this one, we're going to talk about them a little more. You have a list of predefined variables you can access. You also have some that are already set up here, such as like definition ID, team project, collection ID, that you can take advantage of. And then we have things like the system.debug is false, build configuration and platform. Again, these are the variables I'm using in the multi-configuration option to release or any CPU. And I can actually change that to a debug. Now I have a dual configuration. Actually, I'll run a release any CPU and a debug any CPU. And allow at queue time basically means that I can allow these to be changed at queue time. Add variable here. We're going to add one. Let's say we want to add something like a password or a username that we're going to want to use as part of our build process. Password is great, except that we don't want to put our password in here and have everybody see it, right? We have this little lock over here, and this little lock turns it into a secret variable. So then I can type in the value. And therefore, now it's hidden. Now, that can be unlocked by anybody who has access to the build, so you want to be careful about that. And there may be other ways to approach, you know, passwords or secret, what I call secret variables. But just so you know, that's what that is there for, in case you want to use it. We're going to remove that one. I don't need it. Go on to triggers. We have three triggers. Some of you will only have a couple. It depends on what version of in Visual Studio Team Services. Right now we have the three. We have gated check-in, back-in. Some of the on-premises versions, if you're using earlier versions of Visual Studio TFS 2015, does not have the gated check-in. So you'll need to go to the latest update, which in this case would be around update 2. And we have a continuous integration, which basically means a post-check-in build. It checks the code in. It builds the code. If it succeeds, great. If it doesn't, you got a broken build. We have a scheduled build, which we can schedule at a certain time of the day, certain days of the week, things like that. Very straightforward. And then the gated check-in. The gated check-in basically allows us to do a pre-check-in build. So what it does is it takes your code, puts it up on a shelf over on the side in TFS or Visual Studio Team Services, pulls down the code from your version control, builds it all, compiles it, makes sure that it all is successfully compiled, and then pushes it into version control. And therefore, it stops you from checking in the broken build. I encourage teams to use the gated check-in. Now, there's times where you may not want to use continuous integration or gated check-in if you have people checking in constantly and it's causing the build engine to be bogged down or the build server to be bogged down because the number of builds is stacking up. But again, there's ways around that using different agents and different pools and queues. So again, don't think just because there's a lot of people working and checking in all the time that you can't use a gated check-in or continuous integration model. General, This just basically tells us what queue we're going to use. We can select which one. In this case, I'm on the VSTS or Visual Studio Team Services. So I'm going to use their hosted one that comes with it. The scope is going to be to the project collection. Any descriptions about it, the build. Here's my build number format. The timeout, 60 minutes. Badge enabled. People wonder what that is. Always show build status. And then down here, we have this thing called demands. This is rather new to Visual Studio Team Services and TFS 2015. What this is basically saying is, based on the steps that I've put into my build, I demand that these things exist on the build server. MS Build, Visual Studio, and VS Test. So if I look at my build steps, you'll see I have a build step, which Visual Studio build, we're going to need that. Visual Studio Test, we're going to need that. So that's what these are basically saying, is make sure that those exist on the server before we actually run the build, because if they're without them there, we're not going to be able to successfully complete the build. And you can add more demands as needed. If I was to add an Azure PowerShell script, it would actually expect that the Azure SDK exists on the build server. So it just depends on what you're using and what demands you're going to need. Retention policy. I have one here that says keep for a minimum of 10 days, and the minimum to keep is just one. And when they clean up or they get deleted, delete the build record, delete the source label, and delete the test results. Now I can go in here and make changes to these. You'll notice this little blue icon here. What this is basically saying is the manual test steps will not get deleted when you delete the test results. So they'll still exist, just the results get deleted. You'll notice the one underneath it has a little lock on it. This is on Visual Studio Team Services only. It can't be unlocked. It can't be changed or modified. And these are the maximums that you're going to be able to have in terms of retention for the builds. On premises of TFS 2015, you're going to be able to change this. But on Visual Studio Team Services online, you will not have the option to change this. So you're going to have to abide by this 30-day and keep a maximum of 10. And it'll clean up everything when it's done. And then lastly, we have the history. And the history will actually track everything that's happened to this particular build, which is really nice because in previous versions, we haven't been able to do that. So in here, you can see we made a change, we made an add, we made an update. And what's really nice is now I can actually diff those. So I can look at the history and I can say, oh, what changed? Oh, I see. Well, we had MS Build arguments were empty, and we changed them and added those MS Build arguments to this one. So you can go through and you can see by the red marks here, you can click on them and it'll go in there and tell you what's actually changed. So again, the created date revision number went from 1 to 2. The dates changed, obviously. And so then we go back to the history and we see our history again. And you can add comments so you know who changed it, when they changed it, possibly why they changed it, and what changed. And you can tell all that information from your build templates now. So let's go back to build. I'm going to save this. Again, we'll just leave it demo build. And at this point, I can queue a build. And you can see here some of those variables that I can change. So for the sake of this, we're just going to do the release. We're going to say OK. Close that. And we're set. So we'll queue it, close it, or queue it, OK it. And let the build start. Here's initializing the build host agent. The agent was assigned to the build, so it's ready to go. It should just take a minute here to run this build. And it's just initializing it. Make sure that connection can happen between there. Now we're successfully connected to the agent, so it was successfully assigned. Now we're successfully connected. And at some point here, we should see it start going. And there it runs, or starts to run. There it goes. And we can see our build start to go. So again, these are the options we have available to us when we're setting up a build. I'm going to let that build run in the background for now. But just so you know, we have the options, the repository, variables, triggers, the general information, retention policies, and now the new ability to view the history of the template. Hope you appreciated this video. Hope you got something out of it. We'll see you next time.